Today in our hot seat, we've got Iman Funtogidis, who is the founder of Argos Multilingual. Hi, Iman, really good to have you here.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
So, Iman, are you ready for this? Shall we do this?
I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Welcome to C-Suite Hot Seat, the show where we put C-level executives from language service providers of all sizes in the hot seat. We will ask tough questions and get inspired answers. Our hosts today are Nimzi's Inga Boonen, VP of Consulting, and Sarah Hickey, VP of Research.
Could you tell us in just one sentence what it is that Argos Multilingual actually does?
We help companies communicate their messages as well as any products and services they have globally.
You are the founder of the company. So when you were a kid, did you think that that was what you were going to do, found companies? Or what was the career that you dreamed of when you were a kid?
That's a good question. I don't think anybody, I mean, I'd be interested to see if any founder really dreams, oh God, I want to be a founder. I want to set up a company yeah. one day. Like from a very young age, I was actually reflecting on this recently. From a very young age, I was always sort of involved in sort of entrepreneurial sort of activities. Like I remember going, maybe date myself. I was in New Jersey as a kid back in the, it must've been the 80s. And I was going to flea markets and like selling stuff, you buy stuff cheap and you sell it and try to make some money. So and that was a trend that continued, like I would say back even through college. I had something. I sold T-shirts door to door. I don't know. It was just like I almost want to say it was like in my like DNA. I just wanted to do stuff like that. By the way, I've done a lot of sales in my life. I mean, and if you ever want to get good at sales, try selling stuff door to door. That's what I always say. I mean, that's the real test of actually knock on a door, have a complete stranger open the door and say, I have this. Do you want to buy it? And that's really good practice for a lot of things in life, actually, not only sales or entrepreneurship.
And how do you then spend your time when you're not working?
I have quite a large family, so I'd say that's my number one priority is spending time with my family. Other than that, what people might not know is probably what my biggest hobby is. I play poker. I take it quite seriously, so I would say I'm an enthusiast. But I try to play once a week, and it's something I'm into. It's very mathematical, and I like it. It's an interesting game. It's a good brain game.
What's the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
I would say I had, at one point, I hired a executive coach, and he taught me to, I was trying to be very helpful to everybody, and I ended up creating a culture that was Kimon-centric. So basically I was solving people's problems for them. And so they were coming to me and I was solving their problem. And I learned that you really are not being helpful when you're solving people's problems. The best way to help them is to have them solve their own problems. So I then learned to say, what do you think? Or how would you solve it? And then I would like throw it back on them. So that was something that was really important. That was very important in the growth of development of the company actually as well.
Time for the tougher questions now. Are you ready?
Yes, I have had enough softballs. Give me the really tough ones now.
Exactly. Again, I'm super excited that we have an actual founder of a company here because it's very very rare. And if you don't mind me saying, you look very young for. Like to be the founder of such a successful business. I mean,
thank you. Thank you very much. I've been dyeing my hair. I've been using the creams.
It's working for you. seriously though, but what inspired you to start your company? I'm curious.
I wish I could give you a clear answer let's put it this way. I wish I planned it, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. Okay. In my case, and there's a lot of very like Elon Musk and people that say, I'm going to do X and they go and they do X. I was just very entrepreneurial at a very young age, as I was sort of alluding to before. And I was I came to Poland, and I was trying a lot of different things. I mean, literally, I probably tried this 5 or 6 different types of businesses, everything from exporting amber. I don't know if you know, but Poland mm-hmm. produces really great amber. It's one of the major amber producers in the world. And I was like, let me get this amber into the US, into US market, whatever. I tried a lot of different things, and translation was just something along the way that I learned the language, and I had to make some money. And I honestly set up another business that's still going now. It's got probably about 50 people in it. And does market research and consulting. And I did a lot of stuff. I never said translation is a thing. God, I'm passionate about translation. God, I believe that I can build this huge translation company. That never was a plan. It ended up being what happened.
Do you remember what your first breakthrough moment was?
It was probably just around 2000. I know you guys are much younger, so you probably don't remember. Mm-hmm. Back around 2000, there was like the .com era, and there was all these internet companies that were going public, like pets.com, soap.com, and I don't know, juice.com, whatever. Everything was going public. And of course, most of them ended up going bust. But I was like, wow, this is so cool. Like, how can I be part of all this internet stuff that's going on? And so I was like doing some research, and I found this concept of localization. And then whatever that is, I mean, it's like, sounds like a fancy word for translation. So I put it on the website where we specialize, we're the best. We're like the top localization company in Poland, and whatever. I've never did it before. And I got a call relatively soon after we created our website about that from SDL.
Wow.
They're like, we have this huge project we need you to do. We found you on the web. It seems like you're good at this. I'm like, oh yeah, we know how to do this. We're great at it. Of course, I'd never done or seen any, I didn't touch Trados. I hadn't seen anything like that before. And it ended up being a $50,000, which is still a lot of money. And back then it was like a fortune. It was like $50,000 job to translate some software called Asset Center. It was a sort of accounting software. And like, I found this team of like Polish MacGyver, like super smart IT guys. And we managed to do this project and get it done. And that was actually the turning point. It was like, wow, this is a business. This is a real business where you can actually make real money.
What would you say was your biggest failure or mistake you made along throughout your career? And what have you learned from it?
Tech has been a real pain point for us. I wanted to get the order right. I think I built, bought, like went back and forth, building, buying our tag. And, you know, finally we settled down to basically do, and we actually do have a very good now homegrown solution. And that was very expensive and very time consuming. I would have actually done it completely differently. From the tech perspective, my advice would be buy off the shelf and try to build on top of it. I think there is value in having your own proprietary system. But I think we were way too early in doing that. I would have, if I was doing it over, I would have gone off the shelf, built on top of it, and then taken what I've built on the top and then built downwards and built my own proprietary system. That way, in terms of sales, you can't, and this is something that a lot of people out there, like I meet people all the time, translation company owners, and this is always something they struggle with. You can't buy sales. You can't buy salespeople. It just doesn't work like that. You need to spend your time building relationships and finding people who actually are good at it. And then, because good salespeople are never available. If you're going to, and I'm sorry, I hate to say this, like, if you're on the market, why are you on the market? Like, a good salesperson is never on the market. They're also making tons of money. It's very hard to get them to move. So it has to be something happens. There's a change in the company, there's an acquisition, or they get a new manager, or something changes, and then you're there because you've developed a relationship, and then you can hire them. So this is a long game. It's not a short game, but it's the most successful way to do it. Because a small, good sales team is way better than a big, mm-hmm. crappy sales team. That's what I'd say in a nice way.
What was it like for you to transition from CEO to chairman?
Not hard at all, because I don't like to work.
Okay, good. Good for you.
No, I was still, first of all, Veronique is the CEO of Argos, and I identified her as the best, literally the best candidate to be a CEO, basically. And so, like, you know, I've been courting her for a long time. Even I got rejected once, but finally we managed to come together. So, like, it was a no-brainer to hand it over to her. It was easy. Like, it was like super easy. I mean, like, maybe that's part of my personality. I do think that a lot of owners and founders have trouble with like, it's their baby, and they have problem with letting control go of control and stuff like that. That is just never an issue for me. I mean, like, when you know you're handing it over to somebody better, she's flat out better than me. It's not even close, because I have certain skills. I'm an entrepreneur. I was able to set things up, but I'm not a professional. We got to a certain size. It's time to bring in the professionals. And yeah, I think that's something that there's a level of self-awareness that has to happen with, I think that blocks actually founders from doing that. So like for me, like zero problem, because it was like, I'm making the company better basically. So it's a no-brainer.
Can you share with us, like, what do you look for in companies that you want to acquire?
1 + 1 = 3. Let's say we don't have an office in Japan and we have a lot of work in Japan, and we buy a company that's in Japan and they're able to, whatever, solve our local Japanese issue. So, and they have revenue and profit and all that stuff, but we simultaneously also get this additional sort of benefit. And that company in Japan didn't have, let's say, access to European resources or something like that. So it's like sort of a win-win for both companies. If both companies are better as a result of being together, then that's a good reason to do a deal.
What advice would you give to young entrepreneurs starting their own business in the language industry today?
This industry has given and given and given for all the years I've been involved in it. It's nearly recession-proof. Like, even when the rest of the world is tanking, we seem to continue to go up. And I just think that there's more and more opportunities to set up niche segments within here. I mean, the number of languages that all these companies have to go into, and then with all the technology and all the stuff that's going on, I just think there's so much opportunity. I think it's a very, very exciting place to be a young entrepreneur. So I would just say, go for it and, you know, get to work, just be ready to roll up your sleeves. You might not find the right thing in the right, you know, exactly the right thing, exactly the right niche, but, you know, be ready to pivot and keep going.
Really great advice, Kimon. Thank you so much. And yeah, thank you for joining us in the hot seat. I hope you didn't sweat too much. It's cold.
No, I didn't. It was good. You guys are very pleasant to talk to. Thank you very much for taking the time and inviting me.
If anyone else feels like letting off some steam and you're part of the C-suite at a company in the language services industry, do sign up with us if you dare to sit in our hot seat.
Yeah, and for the viewers at home, thank you so much for watching or listening. And watch out for the next episode that will be published as a video on Multilingual TV and as a podcast on the NIMSY website. We'll see you there.